I would like to focus in on the last few verses of the chapter. This is a gospel sermon that you guys should get ready. And if you ever are faced with an audience of 10,000 people and you want to preach to them Jesus Christ, here's a good passage to do it from. Because you have in here, verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So this sets the stage for the question that Jesus asked to the disciples. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Every person is going to be faced in one form or another with the claims of Almighty God on their life. Especially those who sit one day in a building or out in the open air and have a preacher preaching to them Jesus Christ. They're going to be faced with a choice. Will they accept Jesus Christ or will they turn away? And here's the thing that is so awful about the people who turn away. When Jesus asked the disciples, will ye also go away? It says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? There's your text. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And the rest of this passage will give you some of the detail about who you might choose instead of Jesus, if you would like to choose somebody else. Peter says, thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Good confidence that every Christian should have about Jesus Christ and about their hope, their eternal hope through him. But Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now I want you to stop and think for a little bit here about Judas. Because Peter says to Christ, to whom shall we go? And Judas chose to leave. And where did he go? When Judas chose to leave Jesus Christ, where did he go? You know, every person who chooses that they are not going to follow the Lord of all the earth is going to choose some other religion, whether it be a religion of anti-religion or whether it be some other religious leaders. They're going to choose something else instead of Jesus Christ. They're not going to go out into choiceless mode where they are in a vacuum of space and no choice has been made. They're going to go out and they're going to choose something else, and Judas did. Judas decided when he walked away from Christ one day, he decided that somebody else was going to be his people. And where did he go? He went to the chief priests. Now, does anybody want to get up here for a half an hour and speak to us on what Judas got when he went to the chief priest? He got 30 pieces silver. There are two things that every other minister of the gospel will do for you besides Jesus Christ, the only good shepherd, The one who is the door. The one who enters through the door. The one who owns the fold. The one who takes care of the sheep and gives his life for the sheep. There's only two other kinds of people besides the good shepherd. You can have your choice of religions. You can go to the give or the get religions. There's two kinds of religion out there that you can go to besides Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life and gives it to you free. You can go to a religious people who will give you something, or you can go to a religious people who will take something from you. But in neither case is it worth a plug nickel. Many, many people choose a religion where they get something. They like to go to a church that serves free coffee and donuts. They like to go to a church where the pastor puts butter on their back every time they go in and gives them a nice gentle massage. They like to go somewhere where somebody smiles at them and makes them feel good and gives them a better life. But you know, the fact of the matter is, even many people who think that they're getting that out of religion actually are going to the other kind, the chief priest kind, who gave Judas 30 pieces of silver, but took away everything else that he had in life, condemned him in his own conscience, made him suffer to the point that he couldn't even handle his life anymore. We go to the religious leaders of the day, and you know what they want from us? They want our souls. They want our souls to make their ends happen. The chief priests, the religious leaders of Judea, the ones who are in charge of the temple, the ones who teach the word, the ones who want the people coming to them, they want your soul. And they'll buy it from you. They will buy it from you. Or, if they're a little more talented, they will have you pay them to take it. Roy likes to talk about that one religious leader in South Africa who sells blessed water, where after he runs his little campaign of water sales, the banks close for 3 days to count the money that he took in. Somebody should be on the roadsides in front of his building preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that man wants your money. But he's not just going to gather the money around him. He's going to take your soul too. And he can't give you anything besides a bit of muddy water blessed by the devil. And every person who decides to walk away from Jesus Christ decides to go to some other religious system that will either give a little and take a little, or just give a little or just take a little, but has nothing more it can offer. Nothing more. And the silver that Judas got was probably a dream that he had had for many, many years of his life. He was the one who carried the bag around. He was the treasurer of the 12 apostles. Money was his interest. And probably, since he was a little kid, he probably grew up poor, or he wouldn't have been a disciple of Jesus, because the rich didn't really follow him. He probably had many, many a dream in life. If I could just have a little bit of wealth, the happiness it would provide me. But he followed Jesus for a few short years sort of. Perhaps like some of you people might be sitting in this room tonight, pretending, maybe. It's possible some of you are pretending. But after a couple of years, he found his dream religion. I can leave Jesus. I can leave poverty. I can leave this life of stupidity. I can leave this reproach. I can leave all of this behind and get paid to do it. I found a new religion, and he decided to take it. But he lost everything. He lost everything. And Peter got it right when he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? There isn't anywhere else to go." You know, Peter could have said, "Jesus, I don't know if you're a fool or not. You sounded so wacky to this crowd of people, they all up and walked away. I don't know what you meant by what you said. I'm not sure if your flesh is going to taste good, and I'm not sure if I'm not going to choke and die on your blood. Well, I have nowhere to go, because you're all there is. There isn't anybody else who has the words of eternal life." And you know, Jesus will do this to you if you're going to be a Christian. He'll do it to you. He'll do it to every person that's sitting in this room. You'll come to a place in your life where someday you look at what is happening in your life and you'll wonder what you're getting for being a Christian. You'll wonder why things are going so poorly. God says He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and you don't have food in your cupboards. God says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of thine heart." And you've got 10,000 desires over here you've been begging for and you didn't get any. And you'll wonder what Christianity has done for you. You'll look into the face of an offensive God, and He feels that way sometimes. It feels sometimes like, "God, it hurts us because things go so wrong in life." But you've got to look into the face of Jesus Christ, and you've got to say with Peter, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" This might not be perfect right now, but tell you what, there's nothing else that's better out there.